Do we have a screen or is it not working? Okay, I'm sorry. You're all so quiet this evening. Thank you, Mike and Ellen. Did you enjoy that testimony, what God did? I'm excited for what God does in people's lives, and everybody's issues are a little different. No two people are the same. No two couples are the same. But it's neat to see God working in lives and accomplishing His purpose and bringing freedom to people. And that's what's exciting. I'd like to take the last 10 minutes tonight and talk about sexual abuse. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. If you have your workbook, the one, Caring for the Emotionally Damaged Heart, we're on page 209 if you'd like to follow along. You have the two worksheets that we'll be focusing on in just a few minutes. Ellen talked about being sexually abused as a child. 40% of girls are sexually abused in our nation. That's a high number, and the problem's getting worse because of pornography that I mentioned earlier. What is sexual abuse? Sexual abuse is a person who's taken advantage of by another through lust, inappropriate touching, fondling, or sexual activity. There are seven different ways a person is sexually abused, and I'd like to just define them. You see three of them on your screen. I'm going to be listing four others. When a person lusts after another person, that violates that person. Excuse me. If a man is in pornography and he's lusting after women, women feel violated by that, and that damages them. Often my wife and I go into a church, and she'll come out of a service and said, there were three men tonight that were lusting. She can feel that. Most women don't think about it until they come to a seminar like this, and all of a sudden they say, now I understand why I feel violated by other men. Because they're lusting after women. And that takes place in any church. It's not because of the high number of men that are focusing on lust and pornography. The second way a person is sexually abused is by inappropriate touch. That's sexual in nature. The third is by sexual relationships. That involves rape or sexual activity that's pressured. It's interesting, a girl often longs to be loved, but in our culture, she feels like she has to give sex in order to get love. 80% of girls give in to sex on their dates, but don't want sex. But they feel if they don't give sex, their boyfriend will break up with them, and they can't stand being rejected, not wanted, not cared for. And so they give in to sex. 20% of girls actually want sex in premarital activity. The fourth way people are sexually abused is where an adult shows a child pornography. Whatever pornography a person is aroused by first will be what they're attracted to the rest of their life and what they're going to struggle with. So whatever was in that first video, DVD, whatever was in that first magazine is what a person is going to struggle with. The fifth way people are sexually abused is when parents expose themselves to their children. I've had numerous people in my office whose parents walked around the house with no clothes on, and had a high school pastor's son whose mother would go from the bedroom to the bathroom with no clothes on, and for the rest of his life he felt repulsed every time his wife exposed herself. And it was tied to his mother exposing herself in the home. The Bible warns that parents are not to expose themselves to their children. That violates the children, and it's a form of sexual abuse. The sixth is another person exposing themselves, often What happens with children, young people, is they are curious and they expose themselves to each other, and emotionally they're damaged. Many young men get damaged because an older sister exposes herself, or an older brother exposes themselves to a younger sister or cousin, and that violates a person. The seventh way people are sexually abused is through practicing homosexual acts of sexuality before or during marriage. God never designed for homosexual activity to be practiced, but often what happens is two boys will get involved sexually, or two girls will get involved sexually, and that violates the other person and creates desires that God never intended. Now, these are the seven ways sexual abuse, a person is sexually abused. How is a person damaged through sexual abuse? What happens with sexual abuse is a person's thoughts change about themselves. A person that's been sexually abused, for example, a lady will say, "I just feel dirty, I feel violated, I feel used, I feel like no guy will ever want me because I've been damaged because someone sexually abused me." Secondly, their thoughts about sexuality become warped. In my office, I sit in my office and I listen, and a wife says, "I hate sex. I don't know why God ever created sex. It is so filthy and dirty. I don't want anything to do with it." Why does a person come up with that statement? The sexual relationship is a very beautiful relationship God designed, but when it's violated, everything inside turns backwards. I often describe it as a motor turning backwards. A person should desire the sexual relationship within marriage, but when they've been sexually abused, it's like everything is reversed, and what they should enjoy, they hate, and that's a result of sexually abused. Thirdly, they will become emotionally charged with anger and rage. Whenever I see a lady with a high anger score, I often ask the question, "Have you been sexually abused?" 90% of women that are sexually abused will become 90%+ dominant, 90%+ angry, and 95% will be divorced. Why? Because men don't like dominant women over 90%. Men don't like angry women. They're no fun to be around. The problem is their dominance and anger is tied to that pain of being sexually abused. A number of years ago, our son was single, our youngest son, and he decided to come to Cheyenne, Wyoming to hear his daddy preach. I was in a Bible church preaching that Sunday morning, and my son came, and he had a friend in town that he wasn't dating. They just were friends, and he brought her along. They listened to me speak, and afterwards I went to the book table where my wife was, and Daryl introduced me to Stephanie. They were both 21 years of age, just young people. They were friends. They weren't dating. My son was not interested in her because she was dominant and angry, and my son didn't like that. She wanted to date my son, but my son was not interested. Anyway, what happened that day was a young man came to the book table, and his brother had sexually abused Stephanie when she was 6 years of age, when her parents were starting a church in their home. And she was sexually abused in the bedroom while they were having Sunday school in the living room. And after she was sexually abused, she went out to her mommy to share what happened, and her mommy told her to shut up, nothing happened, and never believed what happened. And the mother was embarrassed because they were trying to reach this other couple for Christ, who were the parents of this boy, and she shut it down, and for the next 14 years, her mother didn't believe her story. What happened at the book table that day was Stephanie saw the brother of this guy that sexually abused her. She immediately got an upset stomach, went to the bathroom, and threw up. We were taking my son and Stephanie out to eat at a restaurant, and my son came up to me. The others went to the salad bar first. We always like to go to the meat and potatoes first. So we were at the meat and potatoes first at this restaurant. And Daryl says, Daddy, we got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He says, Stephanie just threw up because the guy that was at the church was the brother of the guy who sexually abused her, and she's locked up. I said, why don't you tell Stephanie that I help people that have been damaged like that to come to freedom? I'd be glad to come back next Saturday because we're coming through this part of Nebraska next Saturday, and I'd be glad to spend a few hours helping her disconnect it. Well, Stephanie didn't want me to know that she was sexually abused, or I wouldn't let her date my son. So she hesitated, but finally she gave in. And I spent 4 hours with Stephanie, and I said, what happened? She told me what happened. She told me how she was damaged, how her mother didn't believe her. And she told me how her heart locked, and for 4 hours I listened to her story and I led her in a prayer. Stephanie went from a 95% dominant, 95% hostile girl, and she lost her dominance and hostility in one half a day of counseling as she prayed and disconnected all of her pain. Stephanie and I became really close, and within 2 weeks, my son was dating her because her problem was gone. Now she's our daughter-in-law, and they have seven children. Okay. Now, I share that story because a person who is sexually abused often becomes dominant and angry. And it's because of their pain. That's not who they are. That's who they became because of their pain. So if you have a wife who's been sexually abused and you can't stand her because she's always angry and she's always controlling, go to find out the cause, because typically that person will lose that dominance and anger if she's led in prayer to resolve that pain. Often a person is not only angry, but they also have a dominance to protect themselves. No guy's ever going to hurt me again, but that pattern walks into marriage, and that pattern is what locks a marriage up. A person who's sexually abused will either hate sex and block it, or they'll become promiscuous. 95% of girls who were prostitutes were sexually abused, and they're living out their pain through the prostitution. Okay? Now, what happens inside of a girl when she, or a guy, when they're sexually abused? They start having feelings like anxiety, can't trust anyone, destroyed, dirty, devalued, disrespected, disgusting, embarrassed, exposed, forced, gross, guilty, hate myself, manipulated, molested, no way out, pressured, repulsed, ruined, sad, scared, shamed, suffocated, trapped, trashed, used, unsafe, violated. These are all the words I've heard in my office over and over and over again. Now, I'm going to say this. It does no good to tell a person who's been sexually abused, why don't you just get over it? You damage a person when you say that. When you say to a person, can I understand what happened? Now, I never go into the details of what happened. I don't need to know that information. But I need to know if they've been sexually abused, and I need to know their emotional pain. Because if I understand that they were taken advantage of, and I know the pain, I can lead them in a prayer to Jesus to get healing for that pain. Here's a sample prayer, and it's in the book if you have the book. Jesus, my uncle, lusted, touched, pressured me in inappropriate ways, causing me to feel violated, dirty, and repulsed. Jesus, what did that do to my heart? How did that change my thoughts about sexuality, about myself? How did that affect how I respond in my marriage? Jesus, could you make a safe place where I can go and feel safe? Can you heal that pain? Do you want me to forgive my uncle? What do you want me to do with the pain? Can you bring peace to my heart? Jesus, I've emotionally blocked my husband because of my past abuse. Could you break that barrier? How do you want me to respond to my husband? And then here's some words. to encourage a spouse that's been sexually abused. Can I understand the pain you carried as a result of your abuse? Can I, as your husband, make you feel secure that I will never lust or pressure you like your uncle did? I don't want you to feel dirty or violated. Can I care for your heart so that when we're physically involved, you will feel cherished and respected as God created you to feel? I want to cleanse your heart as Christ cleansed the pain from the abuse. Can I have the pain you received through the abuse? Just some statements to care. Now I'm going to say this. Not only are women sexually abused, but men are sexually abused. And when men are sexually abused, they emotionally shut off their heart, just like women do. Often their thoughts are different than women's thoughts. But I've had men for 38 years that lock away the pain of being raped, and they will not open their heart. If you watch in the DVD series, the chapter on sexual abuse, there's a man who hid for 38 years the fact that he was raped in a children's home when he was 9. One high school guy would put his hand over his mouth so he wouldn't scream, and the other guy would rape him. And emotionally, he locked up. Every time his wife would touch his cheek, he would go into a rage. And she never understood why until finally, after we had a seminar like this, he went home from the seminar one night and finally told his wife, "This is what happened when I was 9. His wife couldn't believe. He had never been able to tell anybody. It hid that secret. And it locked his ability to emotionally connect with his wife, but it also locked his ability to open his heart. And he was an angry, critical clown of a man who never could get serious because of that pain, because of the sexual abuse. Now that's a male example. I have numerous female examples of wives who are sexually abused and emotionally damaged. Now, can I ask you and encourage you to take the time, specifically if you're married, to ask your spouse, were you ever sexually abused in any way? Any of the in a minute. What I'd like to encourage you to do, if you were sexually abused, is I would like for you to take this chart and check off each area of emotional pain you experienced as a result of the sexual abuse. Then what I encourage you to do is take the second sheet and in the second column list each individual who sexually abused you in each of the first column areas. And then I want you to put 4 to 6 words of emotional pain. At the bottom is a prayer you can pray to actually resolve that pain. There's 2 ways to pray to resolve. You can use this particular prayer at the bottom, or you can pray in a different way. Jesus, when I was in high school, 3 guys took advantage of me sexually on dates, causing me to feel dirty, violated, used, humiliated. I didn't really want to do that, but I felt obligated to do it because of their pressure. Jesus, what did that do to my heart? Can you draw a picture of my heart damaged? Jesus, how would you heal my heart from the pain that I experienced? Jesus, can you make my heart clean from that? There's 3 issues here. One is a picture of your heart. Jesus, how would you heal my heart? And can you make my heart clean from that? What happens is it releases all the pain inside so you can be who you are as a person and can respond the way God designed for you to respond within the marriage relationship. Now I'd like to encourage you. This week we've been talking about different kinds of issues that damage people. Ellen shared the fact that she was never wanted as a child. They wanted a boy. She was a girl. She was never held, never cared for, and she longed for that. That's an emotional pain we talked about on Sunday night. That pain needs to be healed by Jesus so she can open her heart, and her husband needs to care about that emotional need. Sexual abuse is another issue that Jesus needs to heal. And that pain needs to be cared about by a spouse or by a friend who reaches in to care about the heart of that person. Can I challenge you in closing tonight? Would you care for the things other people struggle with? Now, you have to understand, most of us are not honest and open with our stuff. We hide it. We don't tell anybody about this stuff. And I understand why. But in a marriage relationship, can I encourage you to start focusing to care so that other people can come to freedom? And if you're a pastor, if you're a person that wants to help others, can I encourage you to reach out, make yourself available to care about people who are struggling with these issues? You can allow them to experience freedom like Mike and Ellen from issues that they don't know how to resolve because you care about their heart. Let's bow in a word of prayer.